Pleasure to see you again. After a meditation like that, Joel often used to say, well, the class is over. And then he'd proceed to give us another splendid talk. And if you said, that was a beautiful talk, he'd say, talk? What's that? I didn't make a talk. If you remember, we always wondered what he meant he hadn't made a talk or a lecture. Until we learned that he wasn't speaking. We all want to reach that place where we are not living, let alone speaking, but rather where the self of the infinite is outwardly appearing as the action and thought of your outer being. When we are attuned to the One, we come out of the belief that the things of this world contain the key to happiness. And even now, some remain who think that if I attain certain things in this world, I have the key. And this is part of the mesmerism of the mind. We have now, so far, reached a few levels which are in the realm of the soul. The minute you become aware that there is no life in time, and then find the experience of that life which is not in time, you are in the realm of the soul. Now, in just about 4 or 5 weeks, you're going to have a new teacher. But it would be very nice if within these 4 or 5 weeks you found your real teacher. Some of you have. The only teacher is Christ. Christ is the world teacher. And Christ teaches from a different level than the human mind is prepared to receive. And so we have come now to a place where, to us, unless we are able to withdraw from the mechanical mind universe, the world of sensation, the world where always the mind and the senses are chattering about nothing, we do not purify sufficiently to dwell in the realm of soul, which alone receives from those levels above us, which are often referred to as the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th plane, or the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th heaven. Only through your soul can you receive from these realms. And this, of course, entails discipline. And that is what we're going to do today. We want to arrive at that place in consciousness where the word abide has significance. Now, if I were to say to you, or you were to hear the inner Christ say, abide in me, you must remember that abiding first depends on establishing that something in which you can abide. You cannot abide in Christ consciousness if you haven't attained it. And a discipline is necessary to attain it. Now, this is a total discipline. And I want to be sure that before the termination of these classes here, each one of us has been exposed to the discipline and has been practicing it and knows precisely what is expected. In order to be taught by the teacher who alone can teach us from the 7th plane. That discipline can never begin while you are still trying to attain something. As long as you are seeking something and wish to attain something or are trying to get rid of something, you're not starting in the right place. You can only start before the beginning of the world. If you start after the beginning of the world, you're starting too late. Before the world is yourself. And unless you start in yourself, where would you start? You would start at some arbitrary point in mind, and that would leave you in the mental universe. And then you try to climb the mountain. And you cannot climb the mountain because it isn't there. The spirit of your being is there. And so we have learned now that we are not going to attain anything. We will start where we belong. We will start in our reality. And a day not begun in your reality is a day in which you will always be trying to catch up. And you never can catch up because the catching up itself is the illusion. And so your start, your beginning, is before the world was. When the Master says, glorify thou me with thine own self, in that self which you knew me to be before the world was, before the foundations of the world thou lovest me, we are being told that the self of you pre-existed this world, that the self of you must be lived in, and to abide in that self you must also accept that there is a life that you have been living as a human being, and even as one striving not to be a human being, a life which is not your life. In short, you must know who you are. You cannot begin from any other place. Who are you? And unless the answer is known clearly, you're going to begin out of the you that isn't. You might as well keep walking on a treadmill. We are not attaining perfection. We are not attaining spiritual awareness. We are not attaining anything until you have clearly established that you are the Spirit of God. You're going to spend your human lifespan trying to attain it. It cannot be attained. We go back to Moses. He has to teach the Hebrews. He doesn't know what to say. How shall he tell them he has authority? And the voice says, tell them that I am sent you. Now, it's not enough for us to say, well, that's me. I am is an infinite being. And if you do not begin from the infinity of your being, you are not at the starting point. You're imprisoned. You're whirling around like a floating cork in time, in sensation, in ideas of the human sense mind. You never catch up. Today is the discipline of being that infinite being which I am. Now, if someone were to say to you, who are you? And inwardly you were knowing I am the Christ. The next question is, are you living out of that center of gravity? Or are you living from another level? If you be the Christ, you cannot live in a world of time. There is no time in Christhood. And therefore you must be living in the eternal now. Again and again and again, the words come hammered at us, now. Have you carried it deeper than that? Why do they hammer the word now at us out of every corner of the Bible? You look at the sun and the sky. You say, there it is, and you're wrong. It's not there. You're looking at where it was. It was there 8 minutes ago. You're looking at a star in the sky, but you're not really. You're looking at where it was. Sometimes thousands of years ago. You're always looking at the past and thinking it's the present. And in this world, wherever you look, You're looking that at that which is the past and not the present. Today we want to learn that this world is the past. It is not the present. This world is yesterday. That is why we are constantly being told to live in the now, to tell us that this is not the now. Everything you're looking at is just like the sun in the sky that you see, and all you're seeing is the light that took 8 minutes to get here, and calling it the present place of the sun. You're always living in the past, in this world. There's nothing in this world that is not in the past. The entire world we live in is all yesterday. When Joel says to us, don't live in the past, we think, oh, I'm thinking about 20 or 30 years ago when I did this or did that, and it's a skeleton in my closet. But no, he's going much deeper. He's telling you that human life is the past. It isn't the present. He's telling you that there is no human life that is in the now. And it doesn't matter how good it is or bad it is. Everything has to be reinterpreted to see that the past is where we have been. Stand ye still. And we must stand still so that we are not in the past, not in yesterday's, not even in this passing moment which becomes yesterday, but in the now that is not passing, in the now that is not changing, in the eternal self. Now, the miracle happens when you have accepted yourself to be the Spirit of God. When you do, you begin to feel from that new center of gravity, which leads to the soul experience, and which then receives from every level above the soul world. Otherwise, we are imprisoned in this fourth level, which we call today, but which is yesterday. And every tomorrow that floats into today is still a yesterday. Your whole life is already established, and you must live in it now by accepting that spirit is a whole being. Spirit isn't a fractional being. Spirit isn't changing in time. Spirit isn't imprisoned in self-love, self-will, self-desire. Spirit isn't in the human prisons of the mind. I am a whole spirit. And now the discipline is this. As you develop your conscious awareness that you are a whole spirit, you have no boundaries that can be acceptable. There are no boundaries in time. You cannot accept a beginning. You cannot accept an end. You cannot accept a bottom or a top. I am a whole being. And as your consciousness dwells with this, you are in the is of self. You are standing not in the self that is in time in a body, the self that began and ends. You are finding another self, a self that has always been before the foundations of the world and even unto the end of the world, so that the beginning is erased and the end is erased, and you stand in the eternal of your own being. And the discipline is to stay in that consciousness, so that when you are in one self, this must be the abiding from which all of your outer actions emanate. If you see a second self in this universe, you are not abiding. You are falling into sensation, into the tyranny of the mind. into opposites, into dualities, into the world of flesh. Your life is not in time. The flesh of your form is in time. And that is the conflict above which we rise when we accept that I am a whole spirit. Beside me, there is no other spirit. I am the one spirit. I am the first, and I am the last, and I am all in between. I am all that ever was and all that will ever be. I can never be divided from the allness of spirit. And when you live there, you're abiding. A minute of that isn't enough. A lifetime of that will not be enough. We must abide in it until the soul opens and the mind can no longer dominate our lives. Now, the training in this is very difficult because you're going to identify people and they're not there. Only the wholeness of spirit is there, and wherever you go is you. The training is always that I must recognize myself as the invisible wholeness behind the visible world. And until you do that, the soul does not open and is not separated from the false sense of mind and senses. So there's always a confusion. There's never the clarity. There is no place where you are not. You have said there is no place where God is not. And you must see that I, the Father, and I, the Son, are one. One identical spirit. There is no place in the universe where you are not. And this is the discipline. To abide in the consciousness that the fleshly body in time is not yourself. You are sowing and reaping at the same time. As you dwell in this consciousness, there is a movement of the soul within. And this becomes the outer movements of your visible life. The inner movement of the soul is totally independent of your physical body. The inner movement of your soul on all of the planes of existence above the human sense mind becomes the activity of the Holy Ghost. This inner activity is the way the mystic learns to live. And that soul movement within is translated by grace into the outer expression, or what you have called the harvest. You are not in time, but that which you do within your soul becomes an expression visible in time. The added things. Now then your discipline is to remain not in time, not in the visible, not as form, not in yesterday, not in the deadness of the past, which is the physical world which we are living in today, but to abide in the consciousness that the consciousness of God here is my consciousness now. I am doing nothing of myself. It isn't enough to do this only in meditation. That day is over. This is the consciousness we abide in, whether we're meditating or not meditating. Meditating is just to show you it's possible to abide in the consciousness that you are infinite being and no one else is there. And then you walk through the forms which you know are images in time, even your own form being an image in time, and you know that you are experiencing worlds that are not visible to human sense. You are the one everywhere consciousness, undivided, and that becomes a living consciousness, a God consciousness. It is the eternal consciousness. When you die to the false planes and are born into the new, you are coming into the now. And when you come into these new planes, that is the death of yesterday. That is the meaning of dying daily. Birth into a new plane is dying into an old plane. And unless you are dying to the old planes, you are rejecting identity. You are withholding the experience of identity. Now when someone says, "Who are you?" there's no answer required, because there is no one to ask you. There is only you. This comes to the finest point that only you exist. Behind the sun and the moon and the stars and the oceans and the water and the land and the people and the animals and the vegetation, only you exist. And it is all your invisible now. When Joel teaches us that now continues and becomes tomorrow, if you're living in it, he's veiling the fact that every human being on earth is living in yesterday. All of past history is not only yesterday, all of present world conditions are yesterday, and all of future world conditions are yesterday already. And if you continue to walk into those future conditions, you're still walking in yesterday. Only spirit takes you out of the illusion of time. Your soul knows no yesterdays, todays, and tomorrows. Your soul is not imprisoned in the illusion of changing time. But your soul cannot experience itself in you if you are living in the belief that you are a mortal human being of the flesh. Then you're trying to bring heaven down to where you are, instead of coming into that consciousness that heaven is everywhere now, and that the substance of your being is that heaven. It's almost difficult to go through the Bible without it telling you again and again and again that mankind is living in a false sense of self, in a false world, in a false time. And the mind universe that we have lived in up to now is where we experience all of the good and the evil which we have been unable to shake off. The reason we couldn't shake it off is because we persisted in holding on to the belief that through my mind I can be free. Through my mind I can make progress. The purpose of truth in you is to come through first into the lower consciousness and then raise you up to the higher consciousness. where you are in no thought of truth whatsoever, where there are no human authorities, where the world teacher is the only teacher. And finally, the identification that the world teacher is your being, yourself, the I that you are. Now, you can't have 50 or 100 people who are living in I. We're not teaching human beings how to be immortal beings. We're not teaching mortals that they can become immortal. There is only your being, and that being is where you must abide. There is no second being anywhere in the universe. This is the discipline we're to practice this week. There is no second being anywhere in the universe. There is no second self. There is no self that is separated from the self that I am. There is no self apart from me. There is no self outside me. And there are not 20 or 30 or 40 other selves within me. There is only myself. I am the self. With that discipline, you will discover you have a new inner vision. You will discover certain things happening within you that suddenly reveal to you the unseen sights of the inner world, that open you to the freedom from the tyranny of time, sensation, space, mind, limitation, self-love, self-will, self-deceit, until you know that nothing is lacking in your being ever. There is no you to lack, no you to be limited. That self was the passing creature in time. You're wearing a new garment. Now let's take the thought that this world is yesterday. This will be new to most of you. It will be still newer when you have a realization of it. Everything you're going to do tomorrow, unless it is done from the standpoint of I am the living spirit, whatever you do tomorrow will be just another activity in yesterday. And it will be just a matter of time before you realize it's in yesterday, because it will come past you and go into yesterday, and there you'll see it. But your tomorrows are yesterday right now, unless they are spiritual. And then they do not pass into yesterday. They become the permanent self realized in which you actually live. Whatever spiritual consciousness becomes yours never passes away. And its activity is a continuing activity. And then the veil, the changing veil of matter in time, loses its power to fool us. Now you can see we're at another level of this work today. It's the level that you can't teach to people. It can only be taught to those who have accepted the importance of living in the kingdom of heaven on earth. It makes words so unnecessary, because the experience is different than all of the words you can put together. Now we are where there is no time. There is time no more. In my soul, there is no time. And therefore, in the realm of soul, I discover that I can never age. In the realm of soul, I discover that pain is impossible, because pain is a thought in the human mind. In my soul, I discover that I truly am that self which is the image and likeness of God. And there's only one self that is the image and likeness of God, God's self. That was the veil there. When man was made in the image and likeness of God, he was being told that he is God's self. There is no time in the kingdom of heaven. There is no sickness. There is no pain. There is no limitation. There is no need for personal ambition. There is nothing that can be attained. It is all yours. The discipline is to remain in the consciousness that there's nothing I can attain. I am all I would attain. I cannot attain truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the bread. I am the life. And beside the bread that I am, and the truth that I am, and the way that I am, there is no other. You can't find a shadow of thought when you're standing in soul in I am the only. And when you're in that level of discipline, you will be challenged. This world will say to you, things are happening. That must be attended to. Things are happening in the world that must be improved. The tempter will be coming at you in the remnant of mind that still lingers, and the challenge is for you to not renounce the discipline of spiritual selfhood. Spiritual selfhood requires nothing in this world. You've got to know that even while you're hungry, even while you're blind, even while the doctor says we're dying, you've got to know spiritual selfhood requires nothing in this world. Is it happening to God? If it isn't happening to God, it's not happening to you. It's only happening to a false sense of self. But can it happen to that which is a false sense of self? Can it really happen? Or does it only seem to be happening? The discipline again is, if it cannot happen to God, it is not happening. And therefore, I can rest. I can abide. Whatever tempts you not to abide is there to strengthen your abiding. So that ultimately, nothing in this world convinces you that there is a second self besides the one infinite being which you have accepted as your being. You will discover that until you are willing to practice along these lines, you are not providing a habitation for the Christ. The Christ will not enter the soul to teach, to lead, to guide, to feed. whoever is unwilling to rest in the one self I am. So I can't be a father or a mother. I can't be a brother or a sister. I can't be a son. I am the one self. The moment I become anything else than the one self, I am separated from the self that I am. I'm floating in yesterday. There never was a time when the one self became fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. It never happened. There never was a time when the one self was dead. There never will be a time when the one self will die. There will never be a time when the one self is needful of anything. Every need is fulfilled and present in the one self, and that self is yourself, and yourself is myself, and myself is yourself. If we have two of us, neither of us is where we belong. Nothing passes in the one self. Every yesterday is a lie in the one self. Every yesterday of humanhood is telling you, you were not in the one self, that's why you had a yesterday. And the pattern of tomorrow becoming today, becoming yesterday, must be broken. I live. In the one self is the meaning of I live, yet not I, Christ. The one self, invisible everywhere, is the infinite way. Christ is your garment of immortality. Christ is always now. As we rest in that which was always and always will be, you are sowing and harvesting, and that must be your tomorrow. If you're living in spirit today, now, every human tomorrow will be a spiritual tomorrow. It has no other choice but to come and to express a spiritual now. If you're living in a human sense of self, then that's what tomorrow will be. That is why Joel keeps insisting that if you live in now, now becomes the substance of tomorrow. If you live in spiritual identity now, you right now know what every tomorrow is going to be. What can it be? It can only be spirit. You see how you make every tomorrow the moment you rest in spiritual identity? And if you abide in it, you don't have to wait until tomorrow comes to know what it's going to be like. We don't have to sit and wonder, will tomorrow be a bad thing in my life? It cannot be, because tomorrow is right this now of spirit. If I abide in the now of spirit, tomorrow is taken care of. You're manufacturing your tomorrows. In the human sense, they will come as a tomorrow in the world, but it will be a different tomorrow than the world will know. It won't depend on the headlines. It will be the harvest of spiritual nowness when you are abiding. So let us establish identity, abide in identity, and faithfully know there is no second self anywhere. There never has been. Of the billions of people who have walked the earth, The only one who really was there was yourself. Of the billions who will walk the earth tomorrow, the only one who will ever be here is yourself. And this is the consciousness you build. The entire earth is just another outer appearance of your invisible self. Don't be afraid of the momentity of the scope and what appear to be great assumptions. You must go beyond what your mind knows. You cannot limit the universal self to your human mind. Possibilities we don't even know about will come forth as we dwell in the knowledge that I have no past and no future. Spirit has no future. Eternity has no future. Eternity already is, and it is I. You're standing in the middle of moving time and you're not moving with it. Stand ye still. You're out of the wheel of senses, the wheel of sense imagination. And it can't be done in a day. To practice the presence, and the presence is your own being. To practice who you are. If this were your meditation and nothing more, it would include all of the other types of human meditations which we're trying to learn and to find and to discover. Because this is dying to that self which was denying who I am. You don't have to seek anything anymore. First, it may seem like you're letting the world teacher enter your consciousness. That's good. And then you must know there is no world teacher other than myself. Now, some of you may not fully understand this. Some of you may find that you can't get to that place where you're disciplined to stand in one infinite being, I am. Well, pick up the phone and call me and we'll discuss it. Because it is essential that everyone know the meaning of being the infinite being. I'm going to ask you later, when we open our eyes, to prepare for that by knowing that when you open your eyes, nothing has changed. The fact that suddenly you see 40 or 50 or 60 people doesn't change that only yourself is present. And you must prepare for that before you go out into the world the same way. Before you go to your office or wherever you go, you must know that no one is there. And no one is in between but your own being. You're always a form walking through your own infinite being. And your consciousness should be not on the form, but on your infinite being. That's the new center of gravity you must live in order to open the soul. Christ is seeking your soul to express through. Yourself can only express through your soul. So when we open our eyes in a moment, Don't look with those eyes and let the senses fool you into believing that what you're seeing is another human being. You're looking at your own invisible self whom you cannot see. And so if you are frowning at your own invisible self, that doesn't make much sense, does it? If you are denying help to your own invisible self, that doesn't make much sense. If you are condemning your own invisible self or judging your own invisible self, you're really denying that that is your invisible self. And if right where you are, you still are imperfect, you are denying who you are, the invisible self. Everywhere you're looking, in the visible, is your invisible self. To be perfect as your Father is to know this, to dwell in this. The only way I can be perfect is to know that I am the perfect invisible self. Everywhere. One invisible I. Nobody dying in hospitals, nobody aging in the world, no crime, no disasters, no diseases, no unhappy events, no tragedies. There is only the invisible self, and it is I. And then you're not in the mind universe, which knoweth not reality, which lingers in passing time. Now let's open our eyes and see if you can do that. That means there's only one here, and that one is the Father. And that Father is the Self, and that Self is yourself now and tomorrow. That is the discipline. Now the mind is going to enter to defile if you let it. It has a lot of things it knows that are wrong. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to know nothing is wrong? Nothing can be wrong, because that would be the belief in a second self, which is not the divine. That will be the way you are trapped if you are not anchored in, I am the one self. The mind has 100 different reasons to convince you that isn't true. We're going to rest now, and then we're going to explore some other phases of the yesterday world in which man lives.